Hey DL listeners, Robot here. The DL crew was busy with hookers and blow, but they wanted me to let you know that had some audio issues with this podcast. They are very sorry, and we'll get it fixed for next week. I'm out, bitches.
We played for a good couple of hours the other night, and every map, I was like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're on defense. All right, I'm going to go Reinhardt. And I played Reinhardt pretty much every
We were making a joke where he's got a matrix set up like a to determine offense or defense what map is on, but it's all Reinhardt.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy. And your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. We're here with the usual crew. Yep, everyone's here. Myself, Bobby, Chad, Emilio, yep. And Chi is back. Welcome
Hi
back,
guys.
Chi. Hola. All right.
I never did hear the story on why we didn't get Chi last week.
I was
there was a lost phone I heard. Sister on sister action.
Exactly. That was it.
I
apologize. This last
wow.
weekend, I just went like, I went crazy. I went normal.
Good.
I saw her phone. It looked like she did the people's elbow on her phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least she has it. If I lose my phone, it's gone. It's just out.
Yeah.
Ooh. Cool.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and mention this. I'm going to be leaving for a few days here, so I can't promise this is going to be available. But within a week, we will have t-shirts for sale on the website.
Woo!
Finally happening. Right now, we're only going to be accepting PayPal. We may be able to do credit cards later, but going to be PayPal for right now. So get your Hype Train DL t-shirt at dlgaming.net.
Guys, this is a super limited run. We're not going to have these forever. When these sell out, it's on to the next one. So This is going to be your chance to let everybody know that you're one of the original fans.
Yeah. That you're on the Hype Train.
That you're on the Hype Train for us.
Yeah.
For once.
Be part of his
kind of nice.
And these are the ones that the Patreons already got. But they are going to be, maybe we're going to be doing new t-shirts here in a couple of weeks.
When we sell out of these or get close to selling, which we're really close.
Yeah.
So be part of DL history with the DL Gaming Game Club.
But if you're on our Patreon and you're supporting us.
You already get it.
Yes. But coming up, I think they're going to get another shirt here in a couple months. Yeah. So we encourage you to support us. That's it for us talking about ourselves.
There wasn't a whole lot going on this week, so...
Wait, but before we get into it, I keep staring at you with your dumb, stupid ears on. It is Emilio's birthday here on the 3rd, so we're celebrating his
birthday
as well as America's birthday. If you're not in America, then you don't care about the 4th of July, but I'm sure you're sick of it because we like to push it on everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, yay, 4th of July.
Yes.
And Emilio's birthday.
And Emilio, to a lesser extent, Emilio's birthday as well.
Yeah.
But he's like 87 years old. Like, what do you do on your 87th birthday? Like, you pretty much have done everything.
Somewhere, somebody blows a kookazoo, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Like, when you're like getting up to like 25, maybe you're celebrating new accomplishments in life. Yes, I can finally drive. Yes, I can finally vote. When you're like in your 30s, you're just 1 year closer to death.
Yeah.
So why are you celebrating... It should be like a funeral. I'm 1 year closer to dying.
That is horrible.
But
no.
I mean, how else are you supposed to think about it?
Hey guys, I only lost 2 senses this year.
Yeah.
I got hearing and sight still, but
I only went to the doctor.
Touch and taste.
I only went to the doctor 4 times this year for problems.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So what else?
That's how you know how old you are, if you go to the mechanic or the doctor more often.
You're still the mechanic, though. You always have cars that fuck up, so.
All right. Well, we got a lot of games to be going through this week. We played quite a bit of co-op games, but before we get into that, let's talk about Overwatch. The competitive mode just came out, and I know that was something we've all been waiting for. Have you guys played your 10 placement matches?
How about Derp Stick over here can't even play because he's not level 25.
What level did you say I was?
You have to be level 25 from Quick Play in order to even play the competitive games. Wow.
All right, so you were 14, I believe, when we started.
17.
And I've been trying to power level him through.
Well, I've been taking it slow because I didn't realize that I was going to have a level requirement. What, I thought levels were just loot boxes. Like, why did I think that anything was going to happen?
I just don't know how taking it slow can even happen with overhype and or overcrack, as I've seen it and heard it been told about before. When you play this game, you kind of play it like me, where you binge play and you don't get any sleep, and then you suddenly realize it's 7 a.m. in the morning and you hear birds chirping out your window. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
It's like that, but I don't really have that urge to like jump on first person shooters a lot. So like, it's probably third or fourth on my list of things that I want to do.
But if I get to it,
I start playing and realize how much fucking fun it is. Yeah. So then I play it.
Do you really call that fun? Do you call it yelling across the household fun? This guys, Sam, tell him how bad it is.
For what? I wasn't paying attention.
When Chad yells.
Oh my god, it's traumatizing.
I have apologized.
Oh, yeah. He has gaming rage.
Yeah.
Very competitive.
It's not my fault though. The game cheats.
Oh yeah.
I swear to god, the game cheats.
Okay, so with Overwatch competitive, I will say my enjoyment out of the game has dropped significantly.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. My experience with competitive, I played all 10 games in one sitting. I won two, lost two, won five, lost the last one. I placed at 53, which I want to give myself a pat on the back. I think 53 is like 53. Above average.
Wait.
It's pretty damn good.
Break it down as somebody that's never played.
So if you've never played competitive Overwatch, they just came out with a competitive scene. The ranking is between 1 and 100. 50 is about average, and the highest level I've seen is 59. So you kind of hover, for what I can tell from my friends list and what I've seen on Twitch, it's the higher 50s, like if you're amazing, the 60s, and then 40s I feel like are fairly average Overwatch players.
Okay. Oh, this is all news to me because I was 82
when you placed.
Yeah.
How the hell do you place at 82? Maybe it's because he placed
I mean we know how he placed at 82. He's terrible.
I need a right click view career profile and actually verify that on you. No way.
Might be 84 at this point.
Oh, you're kidding me.
God damn it.
This is just unnecessary. You're trolling. Okay.
Speaking of the on the career profile, though, I just wanted to point out, last week we said you couldn't tell how long you've been playing the game, but as Lab Monkey pointed out to us a few days ago, if you check the career profile, it gives you your total time played on the game entirely, which is kind of helpful because you can tell what level am I, how many hours do I have in the game, and it can give you an idea of how quickly you're going to unlock loot boxes.
How many hours to 100? Somebody break it down for me.
Oh, geez.
Because we were playing with one-star people. Mm-hmm. And I've heard
Lab Monkey was level 61, I believe, and he had about 60 hours in the game. Now, keep in mind, every time you go up level, the next level takes you longer. So on that math, you know, it's going to take well over 100 hours for you to get
plus. Okay.
Get level 100.
Okay.
So about 100 hours for 100.
No, way over that. Because as you start going up, see, if he's averaging out a level per hour at 60, then by the time he gets to 100, depending on how it scales, it's going to be anywhere from like 110, 120, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like it's at least over 120 to make it.
You guys are probably right. But you also have to factor in that you're probably on the upper echelon there, and you're probably shitting all over everybody.
Not to mention, you get bonus EXP playing with groups and everything. People who probably won't take us on compared to those who
20% huge.
Yeah,
just for playing with one guy. I thought it should go up with every additional person you have, like not much, maybe even 1% for each, but that would entice you even more to be with other people.
And great point well made, how grouping with someone and the increase in bonus experience. Actually, I want to go around and see how much competitive play have you guys played.
Zero, because I'm waiting for Chad.
Zero.
No way. And
I'm not 25 yet.
Three matches.
Three matches, but you haven't received your rank?
No, you have to play 10. But here's the problem that I had. I won my first one. I lost the third one. And the second one, somebody left the game. And I guess if it happens at a certain point in the game, it just shuts the whole game down. And that doesn't count for or against you. But what happened in my case, we had played a round. We went on to round two. Somebody on my team left, and it said in 30 seconds, you have... I can't remember the exact wording, but it made me think in 30 seconds the game is going to shut down and I'm going to get kicked out of it and I won't lose this match. But what I think it meant was that I have 30 seconds to get out before I automatically lose, because what happened was 30 seconds went by and then I got the game ended and I got a loss. So I was kind of upset about that, but I mean, whatever.
I actually have had that happen to me many a time. So I ranked at 53. Guess what level I am now?
What?
44.
Wow.
And that's over just a 24-hour span.
That's why I don't like it.
Yeah, you're pretty good, too, from what I've seen.
So since playing competitive, you know, the placement matches, you know, I didn't have any issues. I thought it was very fair in terms of who I was playing with and who I was playing against. As for competitive matches, it was hit or miss, and I lost at least five levels strictly from A, either the game kicking me out or me accidentally leaving, and you lose a rank instantly.
How do you accidentally leave?
Me, I think I was hitting escape from raging one too many times. Yeah. And then I've rejoined the game, but you still lose the rank.
Wow.
And then not only that, I walked away.
You rage quit?
Oh, yeah.
You leave in the middle of
games.
You
heard the story of my cell phone, right? Like, rage is my like middle name, but nobody really knows that I keep it well hidden. But anyways.
We need a word
for this.
Work on it.
No, I don't know, but it's like a Chung Lee call.
Yeah.
Noticed a lot in the limited play that I've had in competitive. I've noticed a lot more leavers. I mean, well, I played three games, people have left.
And when people leave that 30 second window, I don't think whether you leave within 30 seconds or even wait until the timer goes off, no matter what, you suffer a loss penalty. You may not lose as much.
Sounds like a bug then.
Just broken.
I don't know. It's a little hard to take the ranking system seriously at this point because there's so many things like that that affect it.
I'm only playing, since I've ranked in competitive, I've only played competitive games. And with the competitive games, it's not any better than quick play. In fact, it's probably more frustrating because when I think of competitive games, I think of people who already have a certain knowledge of where they're at. Communication is vital, especially in a game like this where it's almost strictly team-based. It is all team-based in order to kind of achieve a win. It's hard for one person to carry the team, per se. And in competitive play, there's very little competitive nature, in my opinion. Not very many people using voiceover. And when you de-rank, it hurts you more to lose than it is rewarding to win. So if I lose one game, I lose my rank. If I win one game, I increase my rank by three quarters.
Gotcha.
So it's almost two wins to one loss.
So it pays to be an overachiever.
Shut up.
Wow. That was horrible.
And it sucks because as I de-rank, I get...
Bobby shakes his head.
And it's a downhill climb from there because as you de-rank, you get placed with other people who are lower ranks. And so the team play is worse and worse as you go. And it's a constant struggle. And this is strictly on me solo queuing. I have not done much group ranking. And
is it two different ranks? Your group rank and your solo rank?
No, you get one rank, but if you are grouped up with a higher rank, it averages out the people that you play with. But when you lose as a higher rank in a lower rank average game, you lose more, but as a lower rank, you gain more. Well, so
they did say when they started competitive that it was going to take a couple patches to really get this thing flushed out. So
I'm definitely frustrated.
They admitted it. Yeah. I'm curious to know if other people are having that same frustration. I haven't looked online to see kind of what the response has been.
I feel like those who play very few games and who are very selective about who they're playing with might have a much better opportunity of keeping and or increasing their competitive rating. Whereas me, I'm just spamming competitive gameplay, solo queuing, and just kind of dealing with what I'm handled.
Yeah.
Elo hell.
Yeah. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
So when you're serious, like, okay, I'm playing competitive. Wait, is it all competitive now? Do you even quick match anymore at all?
I don't quick play at all anymore.
Wow.
All of a sudden, she's
an Overwatch snob.
No, but I mean, why would you quick play if competitive is available? What what do you get in quick play that you couldn't get in?
You're playing for fun.
You don't get
you can play other characters. Because that's what I was going to ask you.
I wouldn't mind playing. I honestly don't care about my rank because I want those competitive points that you earn. So you get the fancy skin for your weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, I like to see what the competitive scene is like, and I'm glad that I am playing strictly competitive because it just gives me a true impression of the nature of the beast, and right now it's not a pretty one.
All right, we almost have an Overwatch team right here. If we were being serious and we wanted to win, who would everybody play right now?
There's a lot of variations. So we played with Lab Monkey, which is one of our listeners, and
Lab Monkey's a great player, by the way. Yeah, shout out.
He volunteered to be on our
I don't know what you mean. He was talking that he's been watching a lot of competitive. I don't know what site he's going to or whatever, Twitch or whatever. They do them on Gosu, though. You can actually watch Overwatch VODs on Gosu. But he was saying that right now there's actually meta involved in the game. He was talking about Widowmaker on attack on certain maps. Like, that's the level of meta that's they've already established in this game. So I think, like, your question on who would you play competitive is a very noob question.
Yeah, well, you have to assume that people are working completely as a team, because what he was saying about Widowmaker on offense is she will get that initial kill. And in a team-based game, and I know this from Heroes of the Storm, when you get one kill, it's like you whip your dick out and run all over the map. Like, you can do whatever you want.
They call it a power play in League of Legends a lot of times. And it's true. 5 versus 4. Yeah. You guys don't watch hockey.
Wait, because what?
Well, see, a lot.
Because you get a kill and that guy's off the map until
a lot of people have trouble understanding that in these types of games. And if you are coordinated, that is a huge advantage, and you take advantage of that. But if you're not, if you're just queued up with a bunch of randos, a lot of people just don't realize that, and they capitalize on it less. So in professional play, I could see where Widowmaker would be great in that capacity. But if you were going to take that into ranked play or quick play, I don't think it'd be all that effective.
Yeah.
Okay. I would just Hollywood on offense. Let's build our team.
Okay.
I would go Zarya.
Okay.
Okay, nice. I like that now.
And remember how I said I was never going to play Zarya because she's so butch?
Yeah.
Like, I've learned to grow to like Zarya. And
me too.
Zarya, I imagine Zarya in competitive play fucking kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. But let me interject with a quick story about Zarya. So,
you had sex with her one time?
I wish. There was a... Bobby's more feminine than Zarya is. So
that's true. Jealous. With longer hair too.
Yeah. So in Korea there was some tournament. There was a tournament, and I'm getting
the worst side eyes I've ever seen. Yeah.
Because she has giant eyes. That's why. It's cartoon Bambi eyes. Anyway. In Korea there was some sort of big tournament, and everybody was accusing this one girl of cheating, and then Blizzard double checked her computer and they verified that she was fine, but that wasn't enough. The haters were a bunch of guys, right?
Yeah, were just, of course, like, naturally.
Yeah, trying to shit on this girl.
Was she Korean or?
Yeah, she's Korean at all. This is all within Korea. So she went on to like some stream show or something really known about on the internet that was live, and they went on their like freshly built computer with nothing on it and proceeded to play on competitive, and this destroyed everybody. It was a 6.70 KDA.
Okay.
And the win percentage was like through the roof, like 90%.
That's awesome.
So, and she played for like 3 hours straight, just showing everybody.
What was her name? Do we know her handle?
No. I think it might have been...
Way to fully research this story.
Yeah.
I'll give you a 6. The Russian judge gave you a 7, though.
Just I like how Bobby leaned in to do his...
Yeah. He wouldn't make sure it was clear on the mic.
Offensive payload, I will say I like playing tank because one thing I noticed, people, like you said, a lot of people treat it like deathmatch. I'm like, no, this is competitive.
Yeah.
You have, and one thing too, I must say, is that you have to be very versatile with your roles depending on, if you're really good at certain characters, be ready to give them up. You have to play the character that the team comp needs.
12-year-olds have a really hard time understanding that.
But that's a boring answer. I need a real answer from you, Chief.
Okay. What?
She already said Zarya.
She said Zarya.
Oh, Zarya. Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to go with either Lucio, or I like playing Reaper or Tracer on offense.
Reaper.
And going around behind the you know, they normally have like a defensive line, so to speak. Yeah. And so it sometimes it takes a little bit, but if you can get behind and clear out like three or four, then your team can.
A wall bust.
All right, pick one though, because we're building your team.
Reaper.
Now you guys have to pick.
No, I'm gonna go Lucio. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick
on
Lucio.
On offense, Lucio.
Yeah.
Route 66.
Just I like Lucio as just a healer in general.
Chad.
I've never actually played Mercy.
Did I not have the best game I've ever had ever when I was playing Roadhog? And I got
five gold medals,
guys, in one game.
And
five gold medals.
He ripped his pants off and did laps around the condo. Like
that's not my Roadhog play.
Fully erect.
Against the rest of my team.
Not even...
That means most heals. Yeah. Just ridiculous. I didn't die once, and I had so much fun. I play pretty good. I'm over 50% on my hooks on Roadhog, so definitely
Roadhog. Nice.
So did they do some... I don't want to turn this into the Overwatch hour, so...
Too late.
We can move along shortly, but did they actually patch in changes to play of the game? Because I'm noticing different plays of the game than I'm used to noticing.
I got a res heal, a res one.
Yeah, no, they did address that. I don't know if it's
okay,
perfect, because but it's better.
We stomped a team, and I was Lucio, and it went to play of the game, and it was me, and I was literally...
Not doing anything.
Not doing anything.
See that?
I was just wandering around, shooting the wall. Like, we just stomped them, though. And I think just my area effect heal was enough to get play of the game.
There's a huge difference between being, like, appropriate and then being exciting.
Yeah.
Play of the game, I don't know.
And we can talk later a little bit about play of the game, because we played a game that implemented a play of the game system.
Yeah, sure. I like the ones that are really derpy. They make you laugh. I've seen some amazing, like, stare at the wall ones, for sure.
And this is the last on this. I saw finally saw some video from Overwatch, and it had Game of Thrones and who got the play of the game in the.
Oh my gosh! No way, that's hilarious.
Cersei got the play of the game. That's all I'm going to say. Bobby, who would you pick on our new team that we just built?
He's playing Reinhardt. No, we talked about this when
we can't play Zarya and Reinhardt.
No,
actually, no.
See, right there,
right combo. No, time out. I would say Lucio is a bad pick. Reinhardt,
wow.
Zarya,
she just shit on me.
Payload.
So
I like how, hold on. I like how he asked me a question and everyone answers but me.
Wait, hold on.
Now he's telling you to hold on, Bobby.
I thought you said
I was playing with Bobby and Lab. And
I know, I was going to turn this into a great joke, but you guys take it away.
All right, tell your joke. I apologize for that.
What map is it?
Round 66.
Okay, well, offense?
Nobody said that. Hollywood.
You're ruining my joke.
Hollywood?
The bit is dead. I'm sorry.
Oh, move on.
The answer is...
The punchline was Reinhardt, yes.
The answer is Reinhardt.
Because we're all laughing.
Chad and Lab Monkey will be laughing, especially because we played for a good couple of hours the other night, and every map I was like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're on defense. All right, I'm going to go Reinhardt. And I played Reinhardt pretty much every single game.
We were making a joke where he's got a matrix set up to determine offense or defense, what map is on, but it's all Reinhardt's.
The joke had been set up because I had been playing Reinhardt all night, and then we get to one map, and everyone's like, all right, Bobby, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, let me think here.
Let me
run the calculations. All right.
It's like McCree's clock. At the top, it says Overwatch, and every single one says Reinhardt.
I think Reinhardt is very universally, like for any map, minus one or two, a great pick.
Yeah.
Offense or defense.
I think he's the most fun to play. That's why I keep playing.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's the only melee class, right?
He is. Only pure melee class.
It's amazing. And when he runs around and kills a bunch of, because he's three times bigger than most people.
Yeah,
when he runs around and just knocks three people dead, it's glorious.
Mm-hmm. One of the most fun plays of the game is when you see Reinhardt just swinging away and just people are just.
But Bobby doesn't get them.
I got a play of the game. Nice. Reinhardt. Yeah.
Nice.
Right, so you have to complete. No, he has to complete the.
Oh, team. Yeah.
What's Amelia?
What are you gonna pick?
A Roadhog. We were talking about.
Okay, three tanks and a hill.
We got a terrible.
Oh, that is horrible. We're awesome. Losing. No.
All right, that's why we're ranked so low.
Yeah. Is Roadhog really good?
I might as well offense.
I don't consider him a tank.
Poor Jorn.
I don't either. He's
a bruiser.
He's like an assassin because if I get the hook, I get the kill.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just hard to kill.
I was having a blast with Roadhog too.
All right, we done with Overwatch?
Yeah. Before we get into some co-op games, I wanted to do our a couple weeks ago.
Words, Chad. It's a podcast.
A couple weeks ago, I did 6 months of Emilio. And I teased that I had some Bobby clips coming up.
I've been waiting for this.
So I've put together, well, I found something for Bobby. So this is Bobby's.
Episode one or episode two or something like that?
This is Bobby's 6 months of Bobby.
Nice. Right.
But it's called Robot Interviews. So
what is it?
Robot Interviews. Okay. So we'll take a listen.
I see what you did.
So this is going to be off the speaker. Hopefully this works.
This is Robot back again. I'm bringing Sexy back. But before I do my little dance on the catwalk, I have a special treat for your auditory vaginas. For the first time I, Robot, am going to interview a member of the podcast. I have Bobby here with me. What do you think of this, Bobby?
I think this is a worse idea than Evolved 2.
Wow, rude. But honest, I guess. First question, where did the idea for the podcast come from?
They stole the idea from The Last Starfighter. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
I did not know that. So, what's it like making the Digital Logic podcast?
It's like going to a strip club in Tijuana on a Tuesday afternoon. Dude, that's about the situation over there. They're not really putting their best foot forward on a Tuesday afternoon is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. It's the skank shift.
Wow. That is descriptive. In what way did Chad and Emilio treat the podcast like a cheap strip club?
They would have midget strippers come in every so often. It was like this thing that they did.
Speaking of your co-podcasters, how did you meet them for the first time?
Some garishly dressed men with large hats come up to you with a trumpet and a guitar and start serenading you while you're eating your enchilada.
So why did you decide to do the podcast with Chad and Emilio instead of any of the thousands of followers you have on Steam?
They get their power by absorbing the essence of other animals, so the stronger ones just rise to the top.
Interesting. So they are like vampires, or succubi or something. How about you? How did you become the host of the podcast?
If they find someone who's stronger than them, then they kind of follow them.
That is interesting. So, Bobby, tell us a little bit about yourself.
You'd think Bobby would have like his hair dyed black or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like an eyebrow piercing.
He's like a totally normal guy. Yeah. Who would know that he tortures pets?
Yeah,
they always look normal. Yeah. I'm like the Ted Bundy of this podcast.
That is scary. I'll have to avoid hanging around you alone. Or at all.
So, I mean, I think we got a little off topic here.
Did we? This seems like something you guys would bring up on the podcast.
I'm just saying, like, if we were at dinner or something discussing this and the waitress walked up, it would just be kind of off.
Isn't your family going to be surprised to hear this stuff about you?
I know better than to tell my family to listen to this.
Anyways, I hear you like to make game videos in your spare time. Can you describe one you've liked?
No scope corn shot, you know, and it's just like it's like a crosshair zooming in on the corn.
I guess everyone has different ideas on what is good. Quick question, how do you have so many games?
I'm rich, I don't know.
And modest too. Okay, Bobby, pretend like I know nothing about the podcast. How would you describe it to me?
Got, cool names like Dogen and Icarus, and everyone's dressed like Eastern European DJs, and everything's super cool techno sci-fi. So, check it out!
On that ringing endorsement, I think we're gonna call this interview done. Is there any last nugget of wisdom you want to share?
We don't have to finish together.
I don't even know what that means. But I guess on that note, we'll call this a wrap. Robot, wow.
That is so great.
Wow. I love that robot.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Uh-huh. And I think we have to pay him
Bobby
by the month.
He was chuckling. He was having a good time.
Was.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Oh, wait.
We got something else going.
Sorry. Whoa. What? I was still my bad.
Autoplay.
Why did default to Pornhub right after?
Yeah, just straight into hardcore midget fucking. That was weird. All right. Anyways, that was Robot Interviews, Bobby. So maybe next week we'll do something different. So we'll see.
I think we should do things a little bit out of turn this time. Let's go to listener questions and then we'll go back up to the other thing.
Okay.
So the first one on listener questions is, so I was wondering,
wait who's asking this?
This is from
Jason
Dillon. He's asking Dillon.
Gotta get it right.
Yeah. So I was wondering, are there any games that have been remade or originals you go back and play every few years that
He has problems reading and talking at the same time.
Quote, take you back to the time, quote, you originally played them. But mostly the way I interpreted this, because this, a lot of people responded on this, and most people were posting like which remix they enjoyed the most.
By the way, if this is your first time listening, we're talking about the DL Gaming Steam group. So you can join it, participate in our conversations. This is one of the conversations going on. So go ahead, Camille.
Well, so which remake did you enjoy the most? I think that's what I'm going to go with on this. Because the
correct
one
answer
covered
is XCOM. I don't know if there's another answer for this.
Yeah, but you haven't played XCOM 2.
Like, I played XCOM 2.
You haven't been playing XCOM 2.
That's true.
So
there's a couple of games like that where they pretty much remade it. Obviously, it's running on a newer engine and everything, but they kept the original game so much intact that it really does take you back to playing it the first time. And I would say XCOM is definitely on that list. I would also throw in Deus Ex, because I feel like that was pretty much a remake, but done 20 years later. I'm really looking forward to the System Shock one. Have you guys heard about that game?
Yeah, that's what he brought
it up. Thing up. Yeah, he saw System Shock. He said it was the first time he ever jumped on a Kickstarter.
He said he booted up the demo or just watched the
trailer.
Yeah,
they got a playable demo on their Kickstarter. Yeah. I'm really hoping Black Mesa is going to be like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't played
Black Mesa? Wait, what do you mean?
I haven't played Black Mesa. It is out. I just did not play it.
I saw it on the Steam sale.
It's fucking identical.
Last week,
one on my wish list.
I'm sorry, last week I said it was free. It's not free.
No, it's not.
It's like $9.99, but I think it's worth it.
Worth it.
It's $3.99 right now with the sale.
Oh, is it?
Or $3.99, okay.
If you played it or you haven't played it, you should play Black Mesa.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because if you have played it, you haven't played it in 15 years. And if you haven't played it, then you should be playing it. So,
yep. So right. There you go.
Did that make sense?
Yeah. So buy Black Mesa.
Yeah, buy it. Or play it off your buddies.
This is kind of a cop-out because everybody knows I'm a crazy person for this. But I'm going to have to go with Binding of Isaac, because every time it comes out, it reimagining itself every single
every time it comes out, they've had like one DLC for it, right?
So it's Binding of Isaac.
He's talking about the rebirth,
and then Binding of Isaac rebirth, and then Binding of Isaac afterbirth. And if you look at them, if you were to play them individually for 30 seconds each, you would say, like, this is the exact same game. It doesn't look like you start in the same place, mm-hmm. the exact same levels, but so much more has been introduced for those people who actually play it, yeah. where you're like, oh my God, this is so much better. But from people from the outside, you wouldn't be able to notice.
Yeah, but it's such a recent game that it seems kind of weird you would pick that one, especially since you have such a long history with games.
No. He prefaced it by saying that this is a cop out.
It sounds like a cop out, but it isn't, because the DLCs.
It sounds like it is a cop out because it is a cop out.
Because the DLCs aren't DLCs. It's more like the game just came out again, but it's
like version 2.0. Yeah.
Yes, and 3.0 after that. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one coming out. So it just keeps getting better, but it's the same game.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay for games to do. Like, if they, you know, some people expect something new and different in a sequel. Sometimes a game just needs to take what it did right in the first one and redo that and add a few new things, kind of like XCOM 2.
This is a nice place that I can interject this without. But I didn't want to put it in the news because it wasn't newsworthy, but Left 4 Dead 3 was hinted, they've been hinting.
HL3.
It's like somebody.
Do they even have coders anymore?
L4D3
confirmed. So somebody at Valve was showing something out off on a stream, and one of his files was named Left 4 Dead 3. It's the same shit, dude. It's like just all the Half-Life 3 shit. Again, it's just, I think they're just trolling us. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be funny if it was like a shortcut on his desktop, but he accidentally copied it three times, so put that little 3 or something at the funny. End of it?
Or it could be just like a meme photo, you know? Like.
Yeah. I mentioned in the thread that one of my favorite games is X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, so I'm just waiting for the day that they remake that one, because I think I would probably buy that 6 times.
That doesn't answer the question on either front. It was...
I answered it with XCOM. But then I said,
okay, gotcha.
It would happen again if...
Chee, what you got?
If they got?
For my answer, you guys will laugh, but it's true. I would say mine is The Sims.
Wow.
Well, they came out with sequels. Would you say it's kind of like Binding of Isaac, where it's the same game, but it just gets a little bit better?
No, not at all. I would say, you know, every time they come out with a new one, they improve, they build upon it. I haven't played The Sims 4 yet. I really don't know what that's like. But when I play another version of The Sims, it is kind of sequels, but to me, it's experiencing the game all over again and starting from square up.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where you just get the itch and you want to, you know, and unless you play the game and really experience it for that like small window, then it's just one of those things where I will crave playing The Sims. And maybe it's a very female answer, but it's true.
Bobby, Emilio, Chad, have any of us played The Sims?
I played the hell out of the first one. I tried to get into the second one, but I think even that's a little outdated by this point. They gave it away for free on Origins, so I picked it up and tried to play it a little bit, but I couldn't get into it.
Right.
Origin, yeah.
Bobby, did you answer this question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Through Deus Ex, Human Revolution.
Amila, you never played The Sims, right, though?
No, I never played it. But I am very... I'm glad that it existed, because it's the one that brought... It's the first thing that brought females to the PC. I like in droves. Obviously, there was girls playing games, but it's
but
the
yeah,
first
Sims
one.
Was definitely,
first
yeah.
time girlfriends and yeah. wives and, you know,
yeah.
people were into the PC, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. All right. Well, we got 2 questions this week. I'll read the next one.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, please, Emilio, stop.
Because I'm drunk, by the way.
And Bobby Reed.
All right, this is from False Josiah, and he asks...
This is his first question. I haven't heard False Josiah yet.
All right. I play a lot of co-op games and tend to look for them since me and my wife like to play together. So what is everyone's pick for co-ops? We have been doing the CSGO co-op missions lately. We played a lot of 7 Days to Die 2. That seems odd that he plays co-op on CSGO. I mean, that seems like a pretty hardcore game.
It sounds like
they have 2 PCs.
Sounds like both him and his girl are pretty hardcore.
Yeah, if you're doing that. So, Josiah, I don't know if you knew, but you got the Flashpoint of the year. It's what? Co-op. And you just struck off the co-op extravaganza. And
balloons. Put your balloons.
So balloons. You there's a poop hat. You can't see on stream, but there is a hat made of poop. And so...
So what was that? Was that like on Pee-wee's Playhouse? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
See, when you have to explain the joke, Bobby... That means it buries the joke.
How many people listening that have
I'm explaining it, yeah, because a lot of people may not remember Pee-wee's Playhouse when they said the word of the day and that couch went.
I only know Pee-wee from masturbating in public.
I am so glad you two jumped on it, because had I gone into that by myself.
Now I wish I hadn't, because I wanted you to just drown by yourself.
You can tell how embarrassed I am by how red my ears get.
Yep.
And they were like at least
purple.
Lemony purple,
yep.
I would say, yeah.
Lemons aren't purple.
I think what you are trying to get at is that we played a bunch of co-op games this week.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that. Now we need to scroll up, Bobby.
Yeah, help us out, Bobby.
Oh, scroll up on that computer. I got like...
Yeah. By the way, Bobby right now is looking like he's hacking into NASA or... Yeah. Wait, NASA?
And he could be if he was doping around with us.
Yeah, he probably could.
And by that, you guys mean I have a... keyboard and a laptop in front of me.
Correct. Yeah. That's two computers. Nobody needs that many.
I'm going to go off on a tangent for once and tell the story of when you guys came over to my house and I have two screens and I had Excel up in one screen and Emilio was like, whoa, what are you doing? Hacking into NASA or something? I was like, you never seen a spreadsheet before?
He probably had never seen Excel before.
Well, I did have a lot of things in that spreadsheet, so, you know.
Emilio has never been an office guy. Like, he doesn't do Office, doesn't do Excel.
So. Must have a great back, man, because my back... Ugh.
But I took that, and I've been accelerating ever since.
I apologize, guys. The door's closed. They actually launched a nuke right then, if you were wondering.
Yeah. Bobby, take away our co-op extravaganza.
Balloons, more balloons.
We played a ton of co-op here. I guess I'll bring up, or I'll start with...
Wait, how did we play them? We all played them a lot right before this
game. We all played local co-op on this, with controllers in front of the TV on a Steam Link, you know, just like Steam wants us to. We didn't use the Steam controller, though, so
I tried to get it to work, and the dipshit controller tried to connect to the dongle in the computer, not on the link, so it wasn't getting any connection.
Can we all agree right now?
So fuck the Steam controller right now.
Show of virtual hands. The Xbox controller has just supplemented everything. That's it.
I think because that's so easy. Because with the Xbox controller, you just connect it, it's ready to go. Yeah. The Steam controller requires profiles, and it does have a lot more uses and a lot more flexibility and things you can do. But, you know, especially when we're playing co-op, we just want to pick up and play, and we want to be on our way.
We're going to say this now, but in a year or 2 years from now, people are going to laugh at us for wanting the Xbox controller because once the Steam controller surpasses the Xbox controller, it's just going to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, it's still figuring its way out. It's like an infant trying to learn to crawl, and the Xbox is doing wheelies and stuff. But once the Steam controller surpasses
it could shoot itself in the foot by being too overcomplicated.
It's true.
There are things you can do with a Steam controller that you can't do with an Xbox controller, so I appreciate that. But still, if it comes down to that, I'm going to use a keyboard and mouse. But
it's kind of like dating a supermodel versus like a really ugly gymnast. Like, the gymnast can do all kinds of crazy cool stuff, but nobody cares. And then the other one is just really good at one thing.
Yeah. Sam's totally agreeing with you. You're not looking at her face, but I'm letting you in on the secret. She totally agrees what you're saying.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So all right, my favorite game out of all the ones that we played was probably Move or Die.
Wait. Should we start with the worst one and work our way up to the best one?
Well, I don't know if this is the best one. It was just my favorite, and I figured we start there. And
all right.
Yeah.
It was my favorite as well.
It was not my favorite, but it was definitely the easiest pickup, like, great party game. Everybody can just catch on to it, and it's, like, endless entertainment. Like, I mean, streamlined entertainment. It's, like, there was no weird, awkward downtime in between.
There was Chad, who continuously died for the first 15 minutes.
What do you mean? I won one of the rounds.
He was good at Move or Die.
Emil likes to talk shit about me in a continuous basis, but
Chad, did you not be able to? You weren't able to get the candy for the first.
Yeah.
I did. I still. I'm not sure I understand Sugar Rush on this fucking game.
So this is not what I was expecting. When they explain their game, they say that the mechanics change every 20 seconds. So I was thinking that you're playing continuously and the mechanics are changing as you play, but that is not the case. The case is you're playing this four-player game where you're each basically Mario. You can go left or right or jump. That's it. Mm-hmm. And if to stay alive...
It's literally two buttons. It's jump and then another button for an action. It's an action button. Mm-hmm.
And you die if you're not moving, but jumping doesn't include in moving. So you need to be running along the floor, but there's not a whole lot of floor. Now,
a lot of the time the floor is dangerous.
Yeah, and the floor is dangerous, and there's rockets going around, and there's fire, and all kinds of crazy shit's going on. But the game only lasts 20 seconds. So you last as long as you can or kill as many as you can. We never saw that one with the letters.
Yeah, yeah, there was modes we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff we haven't. There's so many modes.
Yeah, we probably played about 15 of them, and it looked like there were twice that many, maybe three times as many.
Yeah.
Yep, and we had a fantastic time.
We were laughing.
Yeah.
I like this game because it's very quick. You get a response. It felt like when we were playing Mario Party. It felt like Mario Party to me. Like, yes. It's these like 20-second enjoyable moments, and then we all laugh, and then there's times to like move around the board, or there's bits where you're selecting what sort of mutation is going on.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like there's a lot more downtime in Mario Party.
True.
This is mostly fun.
20-second fun, 20-second fun, 20-second fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just 10-second
not fun. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like quick play Overwatch where you lose. Oh, okay, on to the next one. I got this.
But I don't know if this would be as fun with only two people. I think
it's definitely four players.
I think all these games that we're about to talk about work really well because we played with four people. We were all in the same room. We were all kind of feeding off each other's reactions. And I mean, it was a blast. And a lot of these games as well, I mean, I was just going to say it about this one, but it applies to all of them. These games require, I mean, it is skill based, but there is a lot of random chance in there. So even someone who is not necessarily good at these games could still come out on top occasionally.
Yeah. Like Emilio occasionally won. I agree. Like,
I'm pretty sure I won 80% of these games.
He won the most by doing the least.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
No, he learned to just push left and right, left and right, left and right until we all three killed.
By the way, that's how you win in sex. You do the least and you almost always win.
Yep. I don't know what that means. So, on the whole...
Me neither. I just said it.
We thought Move or Die was we give it a big thumbs up. How much was this, by the way?
$8.99 on sale, $14.99 regularly.
Okay.
Yeah. God damn it. I paid like $9-something today.
You get a four-pack for $23.99.
Yep. So there you go.
Four-pack. So I guess you can play online as well?
I did see that option.
Yeah.
And it's bundled with the Jackbox Party Pack and a bunch of other things.
Maybe you can play,
if you were
like,
playing online, if you were playing online with Skype or Discord or something, you would be having just as much fun, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It still would be fun online, but like I said, you wouldn't get that reaction from the people that you're playing with. But yeah, I really enjoyed
couch,
that one.
Yeah, we had a couch land. That never happens.
I know.
Last time
awesome.
That happened was like the Halo days.
It's rare. Awesome.
Xbox One.
All right, what next? What other game is this? That was Move or Die, by the way.
Move or die.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun. What else did we play?
Let's talk about Rivals of Aether.
Oh, that was the first one we played.
So this one, pretty much you summed it up when we started playing it, Emilio. You said it was a Smash Bros. Knockoff clone.
Yeah. And unfortunately for Bobby, he had never played any Smash Bros, so he didn't know like what was just
was
obvious to us, basically.
Jabs, strong
what
attack,
your percentage meant.
Special jump.
How instead of like doing fireballs or whatever, you just push a direction or a neutral or up,
I don't think there's any qualms about it. This is a 100% Smash Bros clone.
Yeah.
And of course
they did a good job with it. Like, I don't knock
with
him for
the
that.
Elements
I agree,
of
Bobby.
Abilities, because Smash Bros, if you hit a certain button in a certain direction, it does the same thing every time. With this one here, you have a special ability, and you basically, one special ability, there's four different forms of it.
Same thing on Smash Brothers.
Smash Bros doesn't have, they have the items and everything else, but they don't have a special ability.
No. Are you crazy? So
what's
if
your
you're,
special ability
say I'm playing
Smash
Link.
Bros.
Say I'm playing Link, right? You throw your boomerang if you hold left. If you push down, you summon a bomb. If you throw up, you...
He is correct.
Yeah.
I do take those as different moves, though, but...
It's one button that do five different moves.
No,
Smash Brothers
neutral.
Doesn't have the heavy. So you hold the button, you hold the regular attack to be the heavy.
Yeah.
And this one has a separate button for the heavy.
How much Smash Brothers have you played?
A shit ton of Smash Bros, but I interpret this so much differently than Smash Bros.
Because
here you have a neutral special. And,
as you do in Smash
and then
Brothers.
You play off of that special move. Whereas, for instance, the one chick with the whip, the acorn, her.
Yeah.
Maple.
Maple.
You throw your acorns, and when you tag an opponent, you can... move, you can actually teleport or like something across the map. And Super Smash Bros., there's no way to tag an opponent.
True.
And for this guy that's with the smoke screen, he has to use that ability 3 times and consume it in order to use a third ability. Oops, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I feel like there's more that goes off of like their specials rather than like the bomb is just down B for Link.
Yeah. You know? Right. No, I would agree with you.
Okay,
this one here,
maybe
if you hit down B if you don't have your special ability on the map, it doesn't do you any good.
I guess there's more depth in certain ways, but there's a lot less depth.
It's a sequence with special abilities.
I think people
comboing things together.
With Smash Brothers, people have dissected Smash Brothers so much that they've learned all these like Z dives and all these crazy moves that you can do in it. And this game, you know, obviously they haven't had the level of breakdown that other games
and have. I don't think that it's there either, though.
Well,
Nintendo does things certain ways.
In their defense, it's still in early access, and there's only 8 characters. I think the pixel graphics I really liked. I think these are one of the pixel graphics that I
done right.
These are done right. They feel like they're well made. It doesn't feel like cheap at all. It feels like they could have done better graphics, but they chose to went pixel and do them right.
Hey, Chad, is this better than that Valhalla game we played?
Yeah, I
think
it.
So too.
Yeah.
But it's not fantastic. It's not great.
Wishing I was playing Smash Brothers while I was playing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course, Smash Brothers is so much further developed than this, but I like it because it's I thought it was just a little bit different in terms of like what you're doing with your controller
and
what you are with any other brawler.
I'm surprised it took so long for this to finally happen. I mean, Smash Bros is such a successful game, and yet they haven't had a PC version of it for a long time. They haven't had a PC version or a clone or anything until now, at least as far as I know.
I think a huge success to Smash Bros. Is also the trademark and the claims they have in all the characters.
That's
50%.
Yeah, you get that buy-in. Kind of like Heroes of the Storm, you bring in the StarCraft crowd, the WarCraft crowd. But the developer and publisher of this game is Dan Furness, so I'm guessing this is a solo project.
Wow. If that's true, I'm super impressed.
I mean, I'm not sure, but guessing
developer
from that information, I'd say it is.
Yeah.
And it's on sale for $9.89. I'd say it's worth $10.
For sure. But I think this is the same scenario that we were dealing with Move or Die. Like, if it was 2 players playing with each other, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. You'd probably want to be playing a Street Fighter-type game.
Mm-hmm. I think you could play this online and still get the same effect out of it. I think that still applies, but to a lesser degree than Move or Die.
Can I make one point on this one, too, that's very different from Super Smash Bros.? Your abilities actually affect the map.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you could knock.
Yeah, you put
the ice
on the ground.
The ice guy puts ice on the ground. The rock guy brings the pillars up that affects
fire,
the whole.
Fire, puddles.
Yeah.
You're breaking the map.
Yeah, really good.
And to relate that to False Josiah's question, I don't know if fighting games are the best thing to be playing with your girlfriend. Usually, that breeds
animosity. Yeah, should we mention some of those? So that
fighting
would be
in virtual reality ends up fighting in real life.
Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. Dangerous Space Time. Broforce can be played with 2 players. Divinity would probably be my number one for a couple that like really play video games.
Yeah, but they seem to be playing more of the action games. I'm not sure.
You saw Divinity. One game.
No, there was 2 games. They played CSGO.
Seven Days to Die.
Both
so your open
games.
World sandbox.
The other one too is is it called King of the Kill?
King of the Hill.
King of the Kill, I think it's called.
Oh, what?
I think it could be.
Yeah. Either way, when you're...
Oh, that one is good in co-op, because you can be King of the Hill together and work together to try to win.
Like playing the Hunger Games with a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's up there, too.
And what's the dude, PETA?
PETA.
But we played a couple more games. What else did we play? Obviously, Gang Beasts and...
Wait, Chi hadn't played any of the games. Chi, what did you like the best?
Out of all the co-op games that we played, Gang Beasts is definitely.
And you were crying laughing, correct?
I drooled over the controller.
I couldn't stop
no one
crying.
Saw that, but it happened.
No, I can believe that. Every time we play Gang Beasts, the game gets reset a couple times because Emil is laughing so hard he tries to pause the game.
Yeah.
when you
pop. And I'm wondering why we don't play Gang Beasts all day, every day. Because
it's hilarious.
You I have can't to have think of anything more fun.
You have to have everyone in the same room to be it's to true. Play that game. And that is such a fun game because it's funny to watch, and it's a co-op game, and those games are very visceral. Like, you really physically feel the motion in the game. So
co-op is also called the Fumble Core,
yeah. With very difficult controls, and it's like, I don't know, it's like wrestling. You try to knock people out of it.
We played another co-op game with Starwall.
Yeah, I would Woo. Guess that would qualify.
Wouldn't you call that Starwall?
I enjoyed Starwall a lot.
Yeah.
So. Starwall was fun, but it's kind of like it only does one thing, although it does do it very well.
It does do it well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Starwall is a game where you play as narwhals, and they have, you know, long, pointed noses, and you're trying to stab each other, basically like jousting around this arena. Yeah, you've got a weak point.
It's a heart.
So you're trying to stab people, and they're trying to stab you. So you're trying to protect yourself and jab. It's like jousting or fencing, basically. And it's very visceral because it slows down at the point when you're just about to hit it. So like everybody just kind of leans into their controller when that happens. Now, I want to point out, I told Emilio this when we first played it a couple days ago, but I want to share with you guys as well. This game has been on my radar for quite some time. And when it originally came out in early access, it was called Starwall Just the Tip, which I thought was such a much more appropriate name for it, because it is a very sexual game. Like, it has nothing to do with that, but like, you have these long pointed noses that you're trying to stab into everybody else. And at one point we were playing a mode where it was like keep away. One person got the heart and everybody else was trying to get it from them. And one person had the heart and
who had the heart?
And I was hiding in the corner.
Three of us were trying to penetrate her.
This is what a gangbang is. Oh my gosh. I won the game. Honestly, I came out on top.
Yeah. One time, my poker went right through Chad, and I didn't get the point, and I said, wow, that's the first time I penetrated and didn't score. So that happens as well.
I also did mention while we were playing that I thought this was more gay than Mount Your Friends.
So that's not true. I mean,
I don't know. Like,
Mount Your Friends has your cock floating around.
That's true. It does, like, fucking whirling.
Yeah.
Loop-de-loops.
Yeah. There was a couple of games we didn't get to. We wanted to share with Chi, but we didn't get around to it. Are we done with on that one?
No, I think there was
one more.
Bobby, head back to the...
I lost my original point. Duck Game.
Oh, Duck Game, yeah.
I like that one.
Chad, Bobby and I played Duck Game for maybe 5 minutes with just me and him.
5 whole minutes.
And
no, we played 2 rounds. we played 2 full rounds of that. We're getting to 10 points. So we spent a little bit of time. And then we all played as 4.
You know what? I feel like we got to 10 a lot faster because there was only 2 of us.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true.
Yeah. So the points were spread around. So you're trying to get to 10 points. So Duck Game is this like 2D platformer. Not a platform, but more like a versus thing where you just spawn, you try to grab the best gun that is available and try to kill your opponents, and it's a knockout. So you want to be the last man alive or last duck alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bobby and I played it, and I was having a good time. It was fun. But once you add the third and the fourth player, I mean, all these games are just, the fun is multiplied. And, you know, if you're somebody somewhere in Arkansas and you don't have any friends and you
what are you saying about people in Arkansas?
Yeah. I'm saying they're very far from each other.
Can I call you a racist now? Because you're...
I could throw a rock in several directions and hit people in many directions from where I'm standing. In Arkansas, you need a rifle and your bullet might hit another building. You know what I'm saying? That's true. So that's what I'm saying.
You don't have in-person friends that can just cross the street and come over to your house, is what you're saying.
You have to mail him.
You're not doing college co-op, is what you're saying.
Yes. 3 weeks later, he gets a letter. It says, Smash Bros? ? Yeah, it goes from there.
Okay.
So, I mean, even though I had fun, Bobby, the first time, it's more than 4 times more fun. Like, everybody's yelling. It's just, all these games are multiplied by how many people we have. So, all these games that we have are great. I mean, I had fun with every single one of them.
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had heard a lot about Duck game too, so I was looking forward to playing that. But yeah, that was very enjoyable. It's like a platformer. There's lots of guns spread out over the maps, mm-hmm. and you just have to kill each other. You're a bunch of ducks that can.
It's funny because duck is the least important part of that game, right?
Yeah, like, it doesn't. They kind of build the story around it, but they have a wide variety of guns. They've got like a freeze gun. They've got melee weapons. They've got grenades. They've got just all this, the flamethrower.
What do you guys think about that? That Aether game that we played on the phone. Do you think
I didn't play that with you guys?
Do you think that would be enjoyable? Him and his girlfriend. Do you remember that game?
The one where you use your phone to control it.
The one where you use your phone to control your character.
I think if people were role-playing that game, they could
like
really
I did,
it.
None,
you were doing it.
Nobody else would do
everybody
it.
Everybody was whole hog into it, yeah. It's like playing D&D with two people that don't want to play D&D, you know?
I think every opportunity is to play D&D. But I just wanted to get, at the end of this, we had fun because we had four people.
And none
of the games that we played, I don't think would be fun with two people. Do you think any of these games we played would be fun with just two people?
Not nearly as much.
No, not nearly as much. It gets multiplied.
Maybe.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Like
King Beast.
So Bobby's like a pretty cool person. He's okay.
Let's not swell his head.
Then we add,
He's okay. Give him okay.
Right. Okay. Then we add Emilio's super awesome. Right.
No, Emilio's. We give you a 2 out of 10.
So he gets multiplied. And then we add Chi, and she's fucking cool.
Uh-huh.
And
she's a 5 out of 7.
Yeah. And then Chad, I can vouch for him.
11 out of 10.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so you're adding cool people. Now, if you add shitty people to your game, you're probably not going to have a lot. Like, if it was you plus three shitty people, I can't guarantee that you're going to have a good time.
Here's the deal, though. All these games that we just talked about, these are very arcade-type games. These are all, like, especially Move or Die, these are things that are fun in a party environment. Things that are as fun to play as they are to watch, maybe. But if you're looking for a game that you can just get into and play for a prolonged period of time, like Starwall, as much fun as that was, like, after about 10 minutes, you're like, okay, I get it. But if you're looking for a game that you can play for a long period of time, I think Divinity Original Sin is an excellent recommendation.
H1Z1.
H1Z1, if you like 7 Days to Die, or even
also, if you like to play games on mushrooms, Starwall is probably your pick.
Yeah,
it's got a very bright 80s vibe to it.
So Bobby liked co-op H1Z1.
So that was our co-op.
Wait,
sorry. Like, based off of the two games that, was it something, False Josiah?
False Josiah.
Yeah.
Said 7 Days to Die and CSGO.
7 Days to Die, CSGO. H1Z1 would be a great co-op because you and your girlfriend or wife can actually play together and be on a team, and you can actually have friends join in too, because sometimes just the one other person gets kind of boring, and it's co-op, but in a multiplayer world.
But like, let's be honest. They should probably just be buying Overwatch, and the two of them should be playing Overwatch.
Yeah, honestly. Oh, why don't we? Yeah.
Well, if they're trying to do shooters, and it sounds like they like shooters. And if that were the case, I would recommend Borderlands, but that's something more focused on a story. And
Borderlands is a great co-op. Yeah. I played that with.
If you haven't played any of those, Josiah, play all of them in order. I mean, I don't care if you drop $100 on all three for two people.
Well, they got the summer sale. Remember the Borderlands pack?
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
All right. What else are we talking about?
So we got a few more games outside of the co-op ones.
So let me get into this. Refunct was this. So again, a little throwback to the listener question about, are you guys excited for the summer sale? And I was like, fuck you, G2A is all shit. And I was like, what the summer sale, I guess, means to me now is discovering all these tiny games that are going for like $5 to $10 that you would never.
I think you should apologize to the listener
I'm apologizing.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sir. Whoever it was.
Yeah, and me.
This 2 weeks now,
and for everybody else.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Good.
Ooh, wall climbing.
Really interesting little game. It took me about less than 30 minutes to beat this game. It was like $1.50. Totally worth it.
Oh, cool.
Awesome music. Fun gameplay. I could have been playing it a little bit more. There's a little bit of a twist at the end. Yes, there's a little bit of a twist at the end of this, like, 26-minute game. Mm-hmm. It was just an look at the reviews. Overwhelmingly. Like,
what's the game called again?
Refunked. And it was just pleasant. I'm just going to say a pleasant 30 minutes. I had a really good time.
I like this. It looks like a small surf map / portal type of interaction where you're just moving around one little map, figuring out the puzzles until you make it to
pretty much, except for you don't go from level 1 to level 2. The level just builds.
Oh, fun.
So as you're playing, more islands pop up, and you just play those islands.
Awesome.
It's like
an interactive labyrinth.
Yes. What was the Jonathan Blow game that just came out? The Witness. Does it kind of remind you of The Witness a little bit?
Except for this is jumping puzzles as opposed to
brain teasers.
One game I'd really like to get during the sale, but it's only $32 compared to $40 regular price, and I don't know.
Yeah. The Witness is really good, though. But
Refunk, this does... I mean, visually, some games just grab you, and the review is overwhelmingly positive. And for $1.50, I mean, shit, why not?
Yeah, seriously.
Super just enjoyable.
I would love to buy this game, play it on stream, and give it away, kind of like
you got family share with Amina.
Hey, before you leave, let's set up family share.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, Chi had to leave for work, so it's just going to be the three of us the rest of the way. So I played a game called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Legends. I will only talk about this quickly because it is basically a clone of every other mobile game I'm playing on these days, where you play it, you get a roster of people, and you take your turn, and you do your attack, and you have special moves. Yada, yada, yada. I didn't have that much fun.
Can you stop playing Star Wars?
No, because Star Wars so far is the only game that I've that
can you please enjoy stop playing. So, like, I recognize within two
wait,
weeks.
Wait, who recommended I play Star Wars?
Me. Then I recognize what it was, which is a lot like Soda Dungeon, really. It's just like, it's the same thing, but it just escalates. So stop.
Because
it never gets better. It just is what it is.
I'm enjoying it.
To infinity.
They've been adding a lot of stuff. Like, every time I play, like, they add stuff every week.
I don't care.
It's enjoyable. All right, that was it for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Legends. Don't play it. Play Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
So it's a mobile game.
Don't play it.
That's it.
So I played Line, which reminded me a lot of what we were talking about earlier on the island puzzle game.
Mm-hmm. The Witness?
Yeah, The Witness. Yeah. Except for it was the Witness like puzzles without everything else. Yeah. So it was just from one tile to another tile.
What is this game called again?
Line with a Y. Like Lyft.
I played a lot of this game.
That's not on our list. Yeah, so I'm wondering how you remembered, because you're drunk.
No, it is on the list. Lyne. Yep. It's on there.
And so you like this, Bobby.
Yeah, I played quite a bit of this game, and it's a very fun game, and it's 89 cents. I mean, on sale, but this game is always on sale, like $3 normally. And it's just a very simple puzzle game.
And yeah, I was blowing through it, and then it got a little more difficult. And I was like, if I'm going to play this, I might as well be playing The Witness that has this backstory and front story and all this like beautiful scenery, but the same core dynamics, you know? So, and then I was just done, you know? There's nothing bad or good about it. It's just, you can get so much more with The Witness.
Yeah, and I can see that, but I mean, The Witness is $40. This one is $3. So I kind of understand that. A lot of people play this game to get the achievements, because the achievements are letters. And if you put that on your Steam profile, you can spell things out. So it's been a pretty popular game for that.
Huh. That's funny.
Yeah. So some games are like that. The icons or emoticons and backgrounds that you get from them are more popular than the actual game. Like Port Royale 3. You can get a weed icon if you craft the cards for that, so it's insanely popular. But the game itself, nobody really cares about.
So let's just make a shitty game with a bunch of sweet icons.
People have beaten you to it. Games like
Making a shitty podcast. Make a shitty game on top of that.
No, it's funny that you bring that up, because some people had that exact idea and they released a bunch of really shitty games and just marketed on the.
We're not streaming.
Yeah, no, I'd have to set it all up again.
Oh, okay.
But they marketed on the fact that people will just buy it for the emoticons, for the badges and everything. And I'm trying to think of it. Slaughtering Grounds is one of those games. The Jim Sterling, who reviews PC games, formerly for Escapist, had this big feud with these guys for a while, and it was pretty interesting to watch. But yeah, people have tried that strategy. Just release garbage, half-finished games that that take advantage of Steam's whole...
Bobby, how do Steam cards work? Like, so
we've had several conversations.
No. Exactly how they're distributed. Do you play a game for X amount and they're randomly distributed? Is that how it works? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually you have to play a game for about 4 hours. It used to be less, but they changed it when they did that two-hour refund thing because they didn't want people playing an hour, 59 minutes, getting the cards, then refunding the game.
Right.
You could exploit it that way.
Well, here's my question. What if you made a game directly at just earning Steam cards and you had to play a certain amount to get one or do certain things to get them as opposed to was it random?
Yeah, it just randomly drops, but usually within 4 hours you'll get all the drops.
I don't think the game itself controls the Steam cards. You just enable Steam cards and then the Steam backend just does it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just want to bring up, since you brought it up, that we were streaming this on Twitch today. Did we mention this already?
I think Emilio tweeted it.
I just want to bring up on the podcast that we're on. We're
on Twitch from now on, right?
We're trying to, but then we just did 2 weeks where we weren't. So yeah. we're trying to be on Twitch.
We're not going to change the game for Twitch.
Yeah. Didn't answer any questions.
We're not looking at the camera.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to watch,
go fuck itself.
You want to watch, as Amelia puts it,
decorate the name, the room, though.
If you want to watch how the fudge is packed, as Amelia says, then follow us on Twitch, the DL Gaming DOTnet, and you can maybe watch us do the podcast live and ask questions that we won't answer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially about Chi, because that's all we've been getting lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, why have the camera up when there's no girl here?
Yeah, seriously.
We have one more game, right? You went back to Exam.
Well, there's a Pac-Man one also.
Two more games. Okay. Nobody can say it.
No, you wrote it as Examina, but I'm pretty sure it's Exanima.
Exanima.
Exanima. And I will
maintain. If your name isn't pronounceable, then just fuck off. Because step one of a name is it should be pronounceable.
I will maintain that this game is a very beautiful game. The lighting is profound. It's very special the way it looks. But the counterstroke is that I would rather watch somebody else play it than myself because I don't have time to learn how to get good at melee at this. And also, it's my melee combat against zombies, but different types of zombies. To my knowledge, there's like 4 to 7 different kinds of types of zombies. And they can all be avoided again, I guess. But I don't know. It looks great. I don't want to invest. It doesn't look that great to invest the time into getting proficient at killing zombies, because it's not about killing zombies.
Wait, we've talked about this game several times. Why are we bringing it up this time?
What's different
this time? Is it still in early access?
I don't know, but there's character classes now. There wasn't before.
So they're still developing it, even if it's not in early access. Okay.
There's character classes now. It's largely a physics-based game. So if you swipe to the left, your swipe to the right will be stronger than your swipe to the left. Like, you kind of combo, but you also have to put that together with the movement of your body. But imagine, okay, this is exactly what it is. Imagine doing melee combat against a marionette puppet, but you're in a marionette puppet as well. So you can't do complex combos. It's literally just swipes left, swipe light. Maybe you can get off an overhand, but it looks fantastic as you're playing it. It's isometric, it's a dungeon crawler, but slow paced, and not a whole lot of story.
It was definitely slow paced and not a lot of story there. All right, what's next?
Yeah, for sure. Pac-Man. Talk Pac-Man, because I watched you play a little bit.
It's Pac-Man, but it's...
Is this the 256 or whatever it's called? Or is this a different one?
256?
There's a brand new Pac-Man that just came out. It was like a Pac-Man and a number.
No, I don't think that's this. This has been out for a while. This is Pac-Man DX Championship Edition.
Yep, exactly what it is. This game is Pac-Man, but now it's been co-opted by what's going wrong with the world, America, and Chad.
It's the youths. Is that what it is? Yeah,
this is the pro.
The youths.
What's wrong with this game is wrong with everything, pretty much. It's being dumbed down to the point where it's fun for fun's sake and nobody ever loses ever. This is participation trophies all around. You cannot lose at this game. The only thing you can do is not get a score as high as your previous score.
Because when you turn back towards the ghosts, time would slow down.
Time slows down. You can totally sink, although that's kind of cool. It's kind of like Starwall where you get your... by their...
Yep.
It kind of like slows down time. Same thing. If a ghost is about to kill you, you can literally make 2 to 3 different movements before you choose what direction you're going to go in. It's so hard to die in this game. You get like 9 lives. You're not going to die. This game is about staying alive and getting as many points as you can. Now, yes, that is difficult. To beat all your friends, that is difficult. To get on the global standings, that is difficult. I won't say that it's not. But it's the same problem that I was having with WoW initially after playing EverQuest and my initial problem with... Sum? You're just playing for the high score, you know, and dying doesn't matter. So it is fun, and it is addicting, and it does suck you in, but doesn't mean that it's challenging. It's just a thing that's shiny.
It's a different kind of challenging. you're one of those old fogies that only have one type of challenging, and this is it, or you got to get out of the way.
I mean, all that would be okay if they had just a plain old classic mode in this, and I don't know if they do, because when I played this game a couple months back, that's what I was looking for. I wanted that good old-fashioned original Atari Pac-Man, and I can't give you an answer on that. I think it might have it, but I'm not 100% sure. I did recently buy the Atari Vault, which is a collection of a whole bunch of Atari games, and I'm almost positive that has Pac-Man in it. But I feel what Emilio's saying here. I did kind of miss that classic arcade-style Pac-Man, which does ramp up very quickly in difficulty. Those old games, very challenging.
This is like, this is what they give you, like Time Attack. And then there's one other one. But it's not beat level 1, go to level 2. And that would make... Here's 3 lives. Get to the highest level you can. No, that's not how this game is. Here's 6 lives every level you go to. And you have 5 minutes. Gain as much time, points as you can. Eat as many ghosts. I ate like 47 ghosts in a row. It's just it's appealing to the eyes. It's appealing to the sound, to the ears. It's like a rave party in a game, but it's just like Sum Sun. It's just like you can't lose. So it's just reward. I don't know.
So Pac-Man 256 is the game I was thinking of. That's the game that is coming out shortly or has come out. So maybe if you're looking for that different Pac-Man vibe, maybe Pac-Man 256 is where you're at.
Don't get me wrong, guys. This is fun, addictive. You know, it is things that are Pac-Man, but it's not, I don't know. Things are being dumbed down too much for immediate taste. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you're past 35, so...
Yeah.
Now everything that's coming out is not right. It's broken because it wasn't your generation.
Agreed.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we had this talk.
All right.
Let's go to the esports corner. This is going to be a little talk that I have put together. I watch a lot of esports. I put it on when I'm at work. I come home. I I basically use esports as a substitute for TV because I don't have cable or anything. So I watch a lot of esports. So the two games that I watch a lot of esports are Dota 2 and League of Legends. And so I kind of was breaking down because they both have stuff going on right now. So I was kind of breaking down which one I'm having more fun watching.
I'm interested in this.
So this is kind of like a Dota 2 versus League of Legends. My take on the esports, just from a watching perspective. So right now is going on, the Manila Majors just happened, and also the international qualifiers are going on for Dota 2, and the NALCS is for League of Legends. They do like seasonal matches where they have 8 teams and they all, or 10 teams, and they all play against each other every week. Kind of like a real sport, you know, like they play against each other every week. So overall, I'm a big fan of Dota 2. Dota 2 is a lot more fun for me to watch. Dota is like watching NFL. League of Legends is kind of watching Arena League. I don't know if you guys know the reference.
Wait, hold on. But you can't say, because the reference you just made applies to skill. You can't say that it applies to skill. This is more, because Dota 2 might look better, but you can't say that these players are more skilled.
Let's just let them have the analogy.
No, okay. I can't say that. Because the ceiling cap of Dota 2, I think, is so much higher than League of Legends. But I'll break it down a little bit more. So before I go into Dota 2 and why I like it, let me just talk about what I like about League of Legends. So, with the exception of the international, League of Legends is produced so much better than Dota 2. The announcers are better. They have replays, which is awesome. Like, you'll see a big 5-man match, and then it'll immediately go into a replay and watch in slow motion what's happening again while the announcers are talking about it. It's so much like a sport. Like, you get to see, oh, the announcer was like, oh, the AD carry was doing this. And then you see the replay and you actually get to see it live. Yeah.
So just like production value in a game.
Exactly.
You like it in the presentation.
League of Legends has it in spades.
Sweet. What were you going to say?
I was saying they did that on the last major for Heroes of the Storm 2, and it was really nice because immediately following a huge fight, there's always a little bit of downtime. Both teams regroup, and that's a great time for a replay.
Yeah, and these guys are right on it. They go right into the replay. The other thing I like about League of Legends is that it resonates with me as a sports fan because they have a league where they have 10 teams and they go in, and every week they have matches against each other versus Dota, which ends up being more like UFC where you have these two teams and then it's like UFC 189 and these two teams fight. Oh, that's a lot of what Dota 2 happens. So I'm more of a fan of
tournament structure versus ranking structure.
Exactly. Okay. And then the last thing I like about League of Legends is they have so much more fun with their skins. Their character models and their character skins are just so much more enjoyable. Like, Dota has different character skins, but they're just like, here's scary dude number one versus scary dude number two, and it's not really that big. My personal favorite is Broloff, who is Olaf, but he's got like beer cans instead of horns. He's got beer cans instead of like axe.
College bro.
Yeah, he's like a fraternity bro. So I just have a lot more fun with the skins. But all of that said, Dota 2, I just have a much more fun time watching Dota 2.
It's even deeper.
Oh, for sure. So first off, the pick ban phase is so much more in depth than League of Legends. Like League of Legends, you probably see maybe 10 different heroes in League of Legends. When you talked about Dota, so they just had the Manila Majors. They used 95 different heroes in the Manila Majors. So 95 different characters were actually played
out of
110. So almost the whole roster of characters were used.
Let's say a few of them were flukes, so we're going to say 80, opposed to, what was the other one?
League of Legends, I see at tops like 20.
Wow.
Between League of Legends.
That's a huge disparity.
Yeah, it's crazy. So League of Legends has much more going on versus... every character can be good if played right.
It's more balancing.
It's more balanced. It's not just balanced. It's like every character has the opportunity to shine if you put enough work into them. Versus League of Legends, this is another thing that's big about League of Legends versus Dota. Dota goes up to ranked up to level 25 versus League of Legends that goes up to 18. So you have the opportunity to surpass your opponent. So even if you're playing a weaker character, if you're doing better with them, you can still outshine them later on. Versus if you go really long in League of Legends, it just caps out. Everybody's 18 and then everybody's equal. Dota has much more itemization choices. Like, you can get six capped in League of Legends really quickly.
Six capped?
Meaning all six of your item slots are full.
Okay.
Versus Dota, you can be at the end game and still not be six capped. You could still have items you're working on. You could
be level 25 and not have...
Yeah, exactly. You could still be working on stuff. So the items that you choose are much more important because that'll be the choice that you have for the rest of the game versus the League of Legends where you can get six capped and then you'll sell one item and get another item or whatever. So you have a lot more choices as far as that.
Do they seem more important one than the other?
Oh, for sure. Like activated abilities, what they can do to you.
Not the items. The tournaments themselves. Does anything carry more weight in your... Ultimately, they're just games being played online, but
well,
to you, do you get more excited for? Do you get on the edge of your seat more than any?
I think it goes back to what I was saying. When you're watching NFL versus UFC, so you're watching UFC 189. Is that right. More important than watching Week 6 of the NFL? Like that's the same equivalence.
What's Week 6?
Like League of Legends has a summer season where they're playing every week, and then at the end you qualify for the major for the end of that season. So it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of...
And by the way, next week is UFC week, basically.
Is it
Thursday, Friday, Thursday? Fight night with about with a title on the line. Friday, the end of the show, the Ultimate Fighter show, and then Saturday is UFC 200, the biggest UFC ever.
Oh, UFC 200, yeah. Which Colin McGregor isn't on anymore.
No.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to bring up before I stop this is you have much more opportunities to do a five-man fights in Dota because teleportation... It's the difference between a teleportation scroll, which you can buy, versus the teleportation ability, which you have to choose early on in League of Legends. So much more people, everybody has a teleportation scroll. So if the fight happens, people can teleport to it, and then you can have these five versus five fights. So a lot of times in League of Legends, it's just five-man grouping up.
Or you could just have Heroes of the Storm, where everybody's fighting five mans all the time. Sounds like super fun.
And maybe Bobby can talk a little bit about Heroes of the Storm on why he likes it, but I think Dota does it right, where the opportunities to fight five-mans, wow.
But don't you feel like you're playing those games to watch the five-mans?
Exactly.
And Heroes of the Storm is like having five-man fights all the time?
Yeah, but it's the same thing as like the dunk contest isn't as fun to watch as if you watch a dunk in a real
well worked game. Up to that point.
Exactly. Like all the work put into something happening is more important than just watching the home run derby in baseball. Bobby? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no way to say which one is objectively better here.
Oh, right? not at all.
It's all a matter
of
preference. I mean, I have a lot more fun playing Heroes of the Storm just because it's a faster-paced game.
Yeah.
And so that makes it more enjoyable for me to watch. But ultimately, I think people are going to be more, like Lab was saying this, while we were playing Overwatch, like he's watching a lot of competitive Overwatch and he's really into that. And he had a lot of trouble getting into other esports because he didn't play the games that he was watching. If you don't play the game that you're watching, you aren't really going to get it or enjoy it.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I don't play League of Legends or Dota.
But you've played.
But I don't think that you're kind of like an outsider there.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. I think most of these people that are watching are active players of that genre. Not just genre. I mean,
I think of it as a sports fan. Like, I watch football, and I haven't played football since high school. I watch basketball, and I've never really played basketball.
This plays into what you've been saying for esports for years, is we watch the Red Sox. My dad watched the Red Sox. His dad watched the Red Sox. These games are going to be changing. League of Legends is not going to be around for...
That's true.
5 more years, probably.
But I will probably watch. I will probably say three. I will probably watch esports, even though I don't play them a lot of times.
All right.
But my last conclusion out of all this is, Dota 2, I have so much more fun watching. But if I were to play something right now, I would still play League of Legends, because Dota 2, the skill cap is so high on Dota 2 that I. Unless you're devoting 100 hours to Dota 2, I don't see any point in even trying. Like, there's so much work you have to put in on that game.
Yeah.
Cool. That's it on that one.
I like that, Chad. Thank you for that piece.
Yeah.
So, I put the news together today, but I'm super drunk, so I'm going to try to get through this as well as I can.
Do you want a beer, by the way?
No. No carbs for me. Overwatch honors a fan who died the day before its release. So how can you call somebody a fan before it came out? It's because reportedly on Reddit, this guy was talking to all his friends about... He's Chinese. Talking about all his friends about Overwatch and who he was going to play and what he thought. And he was very, very hyped about this game. Then... apparently, one day at school, somebody stole one of his friend's motorcycles. So he jumped on his own motorcycle and chased that guy down. And then his motorcycle ran into the chased motorcycle and he died. And so in the Chinese version of this game, at one of the space... there's somewhere where there's spacesuits, I guess. I can't think of where it is. Because I saw a picture of it. It's definitely Overwatch. I think it might be Winston's Cave.
Okay.
Above his name in Chinese, above the spacesuit, is this guy. And it says his name, and then it says, "Heroes Never Die." And I thought it was really, really, really sweet and cool. And I teared up a little bit.
Okay.
Moving on. Street Fighter V Evo tournament, which Chad and I talk about all the time. Because some of the greatest moments in... the greatest moment in esports history happened at an Evo tournament, one or two.
Which year was that? Was that 2012?
When I said one or two, I meant like the first one or the second one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And this is huge. Like 3,000 to 5,000 people go to Las Vegas. They go play live. You know, it's amazing, especially if you know what's going on. But here's it. Somebody fresh can go and watch a Dota 2 and a League and have no idea what's going on. You watch Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, yep. You know exactly what's going on. Guy kicked that guy in the face.
It's like UFC. Yeah, he punched him in the face.
And that's what, like, the UFC says why it's going to be a global appeal. Everybody knows the rules. Like, one guy beats the fuck out of the other, and there you go. So, for Street Fighter 5, it's going to be on ESPN2 from... And that's like ESPN2 sounds like it's like derogatory, but there's I think four
ESPN,
or five versions.
ESPN2, ESPN News,
and don't forget ESPN en Español, and so
ESPN Ocho.
So 2 days straight, Street Fighter V is going to take over ESPN2. That's the July 15th through 17th, and I will be watching probably in VODs though. I enjoy things on VODs much
Me too.
More. And Bobby, you want to read this last one verbatim?
Well, it's actually incorrect here.
Wow.
Palm Desert is at 10, level 1070, last I checked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he might make it to 1100.
Can you read the rest of it verbatim?
Well, you had written that Palm Desert shits on Bobby.
Okay, thanks.
And what's that second part? He owns half of
the
games.
Let's give a little context to this. Palm Desert is someone who, a Japanese person who has leveled up his Steam account more than anybody else. He has been in the lead for quite some time now, and he broke 1,000 and quite possibly will break 1,100 by the end. As I pointed out before, the time to do your leveling up is always during the Steam summer sale or winter sale. So that's when all these people do their leveling. And every time, or do you have a question over here?
Yes. Did you get my trade? I sent you everything that I earned on the Steam sale.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit.
No, we're going to soar right past Bomb Desert.
He's hitting 1,200 tonight. What level are you, Bobby, by the way?
I think I'm at 496. I'm just trying to get to 500, and then I'm just going to be like, all right, that's
it. That sounds amazing until you hear
it. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
My level 12, you just shit all over. But then I hear 1,100 over here on my Palm Desert.
Yeah. No, to get to 1,100, like, I know how much I did the video on how to level up your Steam account and getting the best. And I didn't do a second video, but I have calculated how much money it costs per 100 XP. So I know pretty much how much he's spending. And
say it.
Tens of thousands of dollars. This guy is
that's how much he spent
to get to level 1,100. This guy has invested tens of thousands of dollars.
He's Japanese. They're born with that.
He must be like super rich to some extent. But it's really interesting to watch this because people were really into it for a while, and like the people that I've friended who are into this whole leveling up scene, like some of them have kind of lost interest and stayed static during the sale. Some of them have continued on. Some of them have reached a certain number and just stopped right there. Like apparently that's the number that they wanted. But yeah, I think I'm going to get to about 500 and kind of leave it at that because I'm doing it more now for the emoticons, the wallpapers. You know, when you have your Steam chat window and you click on the little emoticon thing, you get a couple of emoticons. And if you crafted some things, you have a few extra ones. On my 1440p monitor, I still don't have enough room to show all mine that are available to me. It takes about 4 minutes just to load.
I feel like that was a cop out. I feel like some baseball team said, well, I just played that hard so I could go to New York. I'd never been to New York, you know, to play the Yankees.
There's a few advantages. I mean, really, it's just a pissing contest.
Wait,
but there's no way I'm going past $1,000. I can't afford to do that as rich as I am.
Hold on. Is there any advantages at your level right now? What level are you again?
496.
At your level, is there? If you hit 497, do you get anything at this point?
No, every little bit that you level up, you get a card packs dropped a little more often. So I'm getting card packs probably about every 2 days, every day and a half or so. I get a pack of just whatever, and I sell it.
This Palm Desert's getting one every 15 minutes, is what you're saying?
Yeah, quite possibly. It's hard to tell how that scales, but I have.
Maybe he's actually making money on the back end. He's just selling all these cards.
He is not making any money. This guy is heavily invested in this. He could have put a down payment or a house, or he could have bought a couple of cars.
I think Palm Desert, spelled backwards, flipped upside down, and then jambled, reads Yakuza.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Entire Yakuza. Altogether.
I don't know what jambled means, but
he's actually,
I can imagine.
I can't remember if I've talked to him or not, and if I did, it was very, very brief. He doesn't speak much English, but he changes his profile every couple of weeks to a movie, and then he links that movie in his description. So he's really into film, and he's listed a few movies like where I'm like, holy shit, all right, this guy knows film, like a few choice nugs there. So he seems like a cool guy. He's really into Street Fighter. Like, if you look at his profile, it says a lot about him. He's not really like disguising himself any.
Did he mention, if you find out game? Later it's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Did he mention that one movie that's like shock movie for people that don't, you're desensitized to gore at this point?
Oh, no, he didn't mention any
Human Centipede.
Like
no,
Bobby, what was it?
Yes, I know this one. Wait, hold on.
Studio 13. 13.
Oh, wait. Shit. I can't remember.
No, although the Japanese do have some very strange movies. If you want to see a really weird Japanese movie, check out R100 or just go to YouTube and look up Queen of Saliva.
How often did you jack off?
I call Sam a Queen of Saliva quite a bit.
Yeah.
I knew you'd do something with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the writing was on the wall.
No, I'm serious. If you want to just be confused and a little like weirded out and uncomfortable, look at that YouTube video. I think it's still up.
So the week coming up, what do you got, Chad?
I am going to hit 25 on Overwatch. I'm giving my
that's the goal,
Chad, stamp of approval.
Yeah,
right there.
So when are we going to get this Gone Home? If you guys don't know what it is, Bobby, tell them what's up.
Gone Home is going to be the third episode of our DL Game Club, where we all play a game together and then we have a long in-depth discussion about it. We encourage all our listeners to play along with us. We're doing Gone Home because it's a really short game and there's a lot to talk about with it. At least I think there is. But I'm hoping we can do that in about a week. I'm going to be gone for the next couple of days, so I won't be able to play too much. Maybe I'll have some mobile stuff to talk about. I did install Grim Fandango, and I'm getting very close to beating Tomb Raider Go or Lara Croft Go on my phone. So maybe I'll have some mobile stuff to talk about.
Yeah, mobile.
Cool. Maybe next week's extravaganza will be the secret word will be mobile. Just saying out there to our folks that are listening.
Cool. How about you?
For myself, man, I bought a bunch of stuff on Steam, and I can't even keep track of how many things that I downloaded that I want to play. But I also bought Audio Shield, I believe it's called.
Oh, that one looks good.
Yeah, and it's on the Vive, and you're blocking music notes with your two. Instead of playing like Guitar Hero, you have two shields, and the sound is coming at you, and you gotta block it.
It's a rhythm game.
It's a rhythm game
with the Vive.
Thank you, Bobby, for consolidating 2 minutes.
You're drunken.
You know what? This might be helpful to you and some listeners too. If you go into Steam, you can sort your games by recent, and it'll show you your recently purchased ones. And that's been really helpful for me because I buy a couple of games and I forget which ones I got. And
I need that so much because twice I thought I bought the expansion pack to Dying Light. Because if you go to Dying Light and you go to the expansion pack, it says you already own this. But most expansion packs says you have to buy this. But this one, for some reason, says you already own it. So I found it, forgot about it. And then, again, last week, I was like, oh, I already purchased this. I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I don't own it. So that's $30.
Yeah.
But I'm going to buy it because I really like it.
Oh, the other game, Hard West. We talked about this months ago. It's
I remember Hard West.
Yeah, Hard West.
I feel like you talked about it, but nobody listened.
No, well, I haven't played it yet.
Oh, is this the Magic Western?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that I wanted to buy, and I almost bought, and I ended up not buying it. Anyways, either Bobby or Team Tom has it, so I downloaded it, so I'm going to be playing that this week.
Cool. Anybody got anything else?
Oh, how about Chi? What does Chi want to play? I'm going to play some more Overwatch. Okay, yep. Cool.
And, guys, we're not going to start our next t-shirt run until we run out of these shirts. It's really low. We got a few larges, a couple extra larges, a couple of smalls. Get on it. Order those as soon as it's up, because I'm talking just a few. And then we'll start our next t-shirt run. And we got some really cool, not just ideas, they're already ready to go. So that is that. So speaking for Bobby.
Yep.
And Chad. Chat.
Yep.
And Chi.
Yep.
We got motherfucking titties.